How did the Beatles impact the world? Past life researcher and former president of a Beatles fan club, Joanne DiMaggio, joins us to discuss the profound influence the Beatles had on our spiritual awakening and how the seeds they planted decades ago continue to bloom. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Exploring the Mystical Side of Life with your host, Linda Lang.
Hi, this is Linda Lang from ThoughtChange.com. We are exploring the mystical side of life once again this week. If you enjoy our conversations, remember to subscribe, share with a friend. Today we are talking about the spiritual seeds that the Beatles planted within the consciousness of the world. Joanne DiMaggio returns as my guest. Joanne is a past life researcher, and she has also spent 8 years as the president of the Beatles fan club. Welcome, Joanne.
Thank you so much, Linda. It's great to be with you again.
Well, it's a fascinating idea to think where we are in history right now, the spiritual awakening that humanity is going through. We're considering the impact that music has had on where we are today, specifically the Beatles. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about your history with the Beatles and what sparked this idea that they were actually a trigger for us.
Okay, happy to. I was president of a Beatles fan club from 1964 until 1972, when the fan clubs dissolved. And during those 8 years, it was during the 60s, so you know, it was a turbulent time, but it was also a time of great change. I was knee-deep in this. I mean, I was more than a fan. I was a fan club president, so I had all the responsibilities of a fan club. I was doing newsletters. I was collecting dues. I was really trying to keep up with what was actually happening. And of course, back then, we didn't have the internet. We didn't have any way of getting information other than what was in the newspapers or what the other fan clubs were gathering information about. I was really so passionate about it, but it was a coming of age for me too, because I was a teenager then. And so I had to learn to deal with negotiating with other people and keeping my members happy. And yet this love I had for this group, these four wonderful, extraordinary human beings, propelled me to keep going all through high school and into college. I was doing this fan club. I eventually ended up being the president of the Paul McCartney fan club, and I was also the national chapter director for Apple Records. So it was a long journey, but there were things going on in the 60s that was changing the way we were thinking about life. And add to that, I grew up as a Catholic. And so I started to question my Catholicism. I was questioning about the whole idea about sin. And I started reading books about reincarnation. And that opened the floodgates for me. So simultaneously with doing this Beatles fan club, I was also exploring more esoteric ideas. Unbeknownst to me, I mean, I really wasn't paying attention then to what the Beatles were saying. But as the years went by, and when George Harrison became interested in transcendental meditation and went to India and brought the other three with him to work with the Maharishi, then things started to gel. And there was more information coming out of them, more quotes coming out of them about their spiritual journey. And so when they broke up and the fan clubs ended in 1972, it was right after George Harrison's Bangladesh concert in New York, and I was privileged to have been there. You know, I kind of went to sleep for like a good 15 years and didn't really think about any of this anymore. Just started to live a mainstream life. And then all of a sudden, 1987, after Shirley MacLaine's groundbreaking Out on a Limb became a miniseries, that reawakened me to the interest that I had in past life work. for some reason, and I don't know why, it kept haunting me about how did I make that leap? I mean, there was nothing in my background. I grew up on the south side of Chicago. Like I said, I was Catholic. We didn't even mention the word reincarnation. How did I end up becoming a past life researcher? And I thought, I wonder if my years with the Beatles fan club and being a fan of the Beatles had anything to do with it. So that's where I started going on this search about what were they saying at the time? How was I influenced by them? And if I was influenced, was anybody else influenced? And I interviewed other Beatle fans who are my age to find out how they were influenced. And it was just a very eye-opening journey for me to find out about how we were influenced and about how much of what the Beatles believed in, or I shouldn't say the Beatles, because it was really mostly George Harrison, with a little bit from John and even a little bit less from Paul, as to different aspects of esoteric studies like the reincarnation and death, and mostly digging in to find out if they used something that I teach now, which is called soul writing, if they use that in their writing of some of their music. And they did. Paul and John both did. And George to a certain extent as well. So that was what the whole journey was all about, to find out, to give me a personal answer as to was I influenced? And if I was influenced, then I was sure other fans were as well.
You said a lot in there, Joanne. And one of the things that really tweaked for me is how you weren't necessarily paying attention at the time to comments or perhaps even some of the lyrics in the songs, but having that in your environment and kind of sinking into your unconscious, how could it not eventually make some shifts? I'm sure that they did play a huge part in the shift for you personally and for most of us that listen to the Beatles, right?
Of course, of course. You know, like the song Tomorrow Never Knows, actually one of my favorites, and that was based on the Tibetan Book of the Dead. I didn't know that at the time. I didn't know anything about transcendental meditation or what meditation can actually do for you or how I would end up using it in my own practice years and years and years later. But also because of being a child of the 60s, you know, we had, in addition to the Beatles, we had the Moody Blues, we had Paul Simon, and that music was all geared toward really us going deeper within and thinking about life on this more profound level. So you had the fun bopping, you know, She Loves You early on, but then as time went on, that music became much more profound. And if you really paid attention to the lyrics, there was a lot there. And of course, I don't think we thought of it that way at the moment it came out. But certainly all the elements were there for a deepening spirituality among Beatle fans and others, anybody that was listening to the music.
Their music really took a big shift from where they started. Some of the fans didn't follow them all the way through. Some of them did. Do you think it's a case of being a beacon of light for those who are ready?
Oh, yeah. I think that even among the four of them, I think John Lennon made a comment about watching George sort of unfold. He was like this big mystery and he was unfolding before their very eyes. They weren't all going in the same direction or at the same speed, even after they broke up. There's a lot in John's life that I learned. He and Yoko were very much involved in the belief in astrology, in numerology. I don't know so much about whether Ringo was involved too much. I read a quote about Paul that he was more interested than we knew. But like I said, not everybody went on this journey. I think when John made that comment about being more popular than Jesus, that just so many people misconstrued the meaning behind that comment. They did lose a lot of fans at that point. I know that because when I was running the fan club, I got just an enormous amount of flack from our members about that. There were many who said, oh, I understand what he meant, but there were others were like, that's gone a step too far. So there was that sort of being afraid in a way of saying something that could come across as that controversial. And I certainly understand that. I mean, I related to that because I think in some ways you have your mainstream friends and you have your friends who understand your more esoteric language. And I think that they found that out to be true as well. So those of us who stuck with it were very much rewarded with the extraordinary music that was given to us in the time that they were together. And in some regards, even in some of their solo work.
Maybe you could interpret that line for any of the listeners who might not quite understand.
He made that comment not because he actually believed that they were at a higher level. They were better than Jesus. And look at us, we're like gods, right? He didn't mean that at all. What he meant was, isn't it a shame that, you know, in some circles we're more popular among fans than Jesus is in terms of going to church or something like that. So it wasn't literally, we're more popular than Jesus. It was more, isn't this a shame?
How do you think the Beatles impacted your spirituality?
I really do think that they planted the seed, as I say. They opened the door. They put an idea out there through the lyrics of their music that registered in my soul on the deepest possible level. And I may not have done anything about it at that moment in time when it came through, but it was there nonetheless. And I think that it just started to build one on top of the other, one on top of the other. So that if I ignored the first one, couldn't ignore the second or third or fourth one. And eventually I started thinking differently. I started to ask more questions about life. I wanted to know, what's the deeper meaning? What are they talking about here? So much of it was on a whole different level than what I was used to. I was too young at the time when it first happened to really know what to do with it. And then also trying to break free of the years and years and years of religious upbringing. That was the antithesis of what information I was getting. So I think that's what it was. I think it just planted the seed and it blossomed many, many years later.
And do you think it's accurate to say that's pretty much how they affected the world?
Each of us in our own way heard what we needed to hear at that moment in time. So you've got millions of people that are reading what they said or listening to an interview they did or listening to the lyrics of their music. We're all interpreting it in our own way. We're processing it through the lens of what our upbringing may have been or our belief system may have been. But it opened the door for all of us, maybe just a crack, but it opened that door. And then each of us chose to walk through that door or not. And I do believe that it changed the world on a massive scale. And I'm very grateful that I was part of that movement.
What do you think the Beatles would like us all to know?
I think that what I got out of all the studying that I did was this constant reference to self-responsibility, which is, of course, a tenet in the reincarnation studies. We all have free will. We can choose to do whatever it is we want to do. But we are responsible for those actions. And I think that that's what they were trying to tell. John said that, George said that. And so I think that was one of the main messages, you know, that this is all out there for you if you choose to look into it, accept it, believe it. But if you don't, that's fine too. So they were just presenting to us, I think, a different way of thinking about it, that maybe our upbringing and whatever religion that we were brought up in would not have given us that option to look at life in that way. You know, one of the things I loved about the Beatles story that I find interesting in my own work is how they came together. You know, I don't believe anything is random in life, and they were part of a soul family and they had a soul contract, and that contract played itself out in them getting together. And they all wondered about it from time to time as well. So there's a lot there that really gels with my metaphysical understandings and the teachings. I'm a Edgar Cayce student, and I was amazed at how much in sync much of what they were saying and singing about was in alignment with the Cayce teachings and with the understanding that I developed over years of study into how the universe actually worked. So it's just beautiful the way it all kind of gelled and came together.
Have you explored in your own consciousness any potential past life relationship with the Beatles?
When I think about soul groups, soul family, we travel together as a pod, souls. The souls that are around us now have been with us from the beginning of time. And we just go lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. We change our roles, we change our genders. So with my being so involved, I may have been on the periphery. I certainly was not in their inner circle in any way, shape, or form. But people that are famous tend to have hundreds, if not thousands, of people that relate to them because of them watching them from afar. You know, I've never met them. I never wanted to meet them. I always thought of myself as a behind the scenes kind of person. So I just silently did my work. And that had some ups and downs to it. But I learned a lot about myself.
Now, Joanne, you mentioned soul writing as a technique that the Beatles used. If anyone is interested in that, they can check out our earlier podcast. But for those who haven't heard of that before, can you tell us a little bit about what it is?
Sure. Soul writing is writing in an altered state of consciousness. So it's getting words, ideas, drawings, whatever method you're using, from a higher source. So it's coming in from above. It's divinely inspired. It's coming in. Many famous writers, famous composers have said, I don't know where this came from. You know, I was sleeping. It came to me in a dream. I woke up and all of a sudden there it was. I had to write it down. Both Paul and John acknowledged that in writing. Like for John, it was Across the Universe and Nowhere Man. For Paul, Let It Be and Yesterday. To the point where you're getting this music, it's coming through you. And even after it's completed, you're not quite sure where this came from. Was there an inspiration somewhere? Was there a muse at work here? But they both talked about that to the point where they're wondering, you know, I better check and make sure that this is original because, you know, I don't want to be accused of plagiarizing something. But that's what it is. It's writing in an altered state of consciousness. When I teach it, we go into a meditation. Surround ourselves with white light, say a prayer of protection. And then it's a 24/7 connection to spirit. You go into this meditation, you put out there a question if you want, or just ask for a message for your highest and best. Put the pen down on the paper and wait for an answer. There's always somebody there to provide you with a much more profound, in-depth response to whatever question you may have. Now, there's many ways to use soul writing. You can use it to access information about a past life. You can use it for learning more about your psychic abilities. You can use it for soul's growth. There's just, in my book, I list all the ways to use it and go into detail about that. But writing music is one of them. And I quote Mozart and Beethoven and Bach and Brahms and Tchaikovsky all felt that they were getting their music from another source, another element, different from when they would do it in a conscious state. So the fact that I saw that Paul and John talked a little bit about that made me smile because here I am teaching soul writing, wrote a book about soul writing, and here, unbeknownst to me earlier, they were doing it as well. So it was very, very satisfying.
And who knows, maybe you heard that little tidbit years and years ago, yeah. And that seed got planted.
Absolutely. Who knows? There was nothing in my past to suggest that I would do this kind of work. But I really do believe that the Beatles had a lot to do with it, and I'm very grateful.
just to be absolutely clear, soul writing is something that every person can do, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's your birthright to be able to access that information. I tell people it's like a 24/7 phone home card. You've got spirit guides, ascended masters, source, whoever, angels, whatever you want to believe in. They're there to help you. They're waiting for you to contact them. So you can do it. I teach it all the time to people who didn't know that they could do it. When they get the message, it's so profound, you realize, I wouldn't have written this in a conscious state. I mean, I discovered that in the early part of my work. It reaches a whole different height of creativity. It's like there's this well, you know, and we all can dip our pens in the well, but some of us go a little deeper than others. And so this is Spirit's way of helping us reach that higher level of spiritual awareness through the writing. Artists use it. If you just say that prayer of protection, ask for guidance, ask for help, and go about doing your painting or whatever creative aspect you're working on it. It's there for you 24/7. It's just a wonderful tool that I found it to be one of the most transformative tools in my little arsenal of helping people reach a new awareness of why they're here and what they're capable of doing. So it's just invaluable.
What a beautiful synchronicity that the Beatles also use that. I suspect probably there are quite a few songwriters, writers, musicians that download their pieces of creativity.
There's many, many instances of it. And everybody admits, I don't know where this came from. Some people, when they do the writing, they're like, I couldn't have written this. It wasn't me. But it was you. It was your higher self. So like I said, it's just a very invaluable tool for us to use while we're here on the earth.
Well, I think that the Beatles were a wonderful model of how to step outside of the box to help us to think about different possibilities and really tap into that creative power. It's not always easy being the forerunner, though, you know, the first one out of the box.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But, you know, they came to us at a time when we really needed them. We're coming up to the 60th anniversary, February 7th, 1964, when they first came to New York. So 60 years, hard to believe. But that was only a few months after President Kennedy was assassinated. You know, as a country, we were in mourning. And I know I took it really hard when Kennedy was assassinated. And I think a lot of us did. And here they come, a few months later, bringing us some joy, some hope, some excitement, and just turning things around. Now, you know, the 60s were very turbulent. A lot of things were going on simultaneously with this musical revolution that was happening. So I think the timing was perfect for them to come. And I think that very much added to their popularity because we were thirsty for something like this. And you know what? In my opinion, there hasn't been anything like it since. I don't think anybody has come anywhere close to what they did, their music. You know, after they broke up, for a lot of us, it was very sad because while they individually have done great work, collectively, that energy that happened when the four of them were together, the harmonies, just everything about the music when they were together has not been duplicated at all. And so I feel very privileged to have been a part of that movement. Like I said, I can't believe it's been 60 years since it started, but it just took us on a magical mystery tour that we're still on to this day.
Yes, and look at us now.
Yeah.
More to go, more to go, and more to experience and more to explore.
Yes, absolutely.
Joanne, tell us a little bit about your new book.
My new book, The Inner Light, How the Beatles Planted the Seed of Spirituality in Our Souls, is out now. The first part is all about the fan club. So if you want a behind-the-scenes look at what it was like to be a Beatles fan club president, you can enjoy that part of the book. There's a whole chapter on soul writing. a whole chapter on what other Beatle fans, how the Beatles influenced them, and then a final chapter on what the Beatles actually said about different aspects of their spiritual journey. So I think it's a unique look at that from the perspective of a fan club president turned past life researcher and therapist. So I think everybody will get something out of it.
And Joanne, for anyone who's interested in your work, where can we send them?
To my website. It's joannedimaggio.com. It's JoannedimaggiO.com. If you're interested in a regression or learning soul writing, there's information on the website.
Perfect. Perfect. Thank you for being my guest.
Well, thank you, Linda. I've enjoyed talking with you.
And thank you for listening to this week's edition of Exploring the Mystical Side of Life. You will find all of our conversations on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. Come visit me at thoughtchange.com. Pick up your copy of Learning to Listen. And we will see you again.